ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 39। नाते अभये शेषपवस्य करणम् विना विनोदं बट तर्कयामहे भावो निरोधस्थितिर अपि अविद्यया कृता यतस्त्वयि अभ्यसरायात्मनि। न ते भवस्येष भवस्य कारणम् विना विनोदं बट तर्कयामहे भावो निरुद्धस्थितिरपि अविद्यया कृता यतस्त्वयि अभ्यसरस्यात्मनि। न ते अभ्यवेशेष भवस्य कारणम् विना विनोदं बट तर्कयामहे भावो निरोधस्थितिरपि अविद्यया कृता यतस्त्वयि अभ्यसरात्मनि। Mother ji, please. Not. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Supreme Lord, You are not an ordinary living entity appearing in this material world as a result of fruitive activities. Therefore, Your appearance or birth in this world has no other cause than Your pleasure potency. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for miseries like birth, death and old age, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mama Vaunsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and thus they are qualitatively one with the Lord. We can understand that when Supreme Lord appears or disappears as an incarnation, There is no such cause then as pleasure potency. We cannot force the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious principle or descendant of Bharata and a predominant rise of religion, at that time I descend myself. When there is a need to diminish a burden created by the demons, the Supreme Godhead can do it in many ways because he has multifarious energies. There is no need for him to come as an incarnation since he is not forced to do anything like ordinary living entities. The living entities come to this material world in the spirit of enjoyment, but because they want to enjoy without Krishna, Krishna bahir mukha hai bhogavancha kare. They suffer birth, death, old age and disease under the control of the illusory energy. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, however, no such causes are involved. His descent is an act of his pleasure potency. We should always remember this distinction between the Lord and the ordinary living entity and not uselessly argue that the Lord cannot come. There are philosophers who do not believe in Lord's incarnation and who say, why should the Supreme Lord come? But the answer is, why should he not come? Why should he be controlled by the desire of the living entity? The Lord is free to do whatever he likes. Therefore, this verse says, Vina vinodam bata tarkaya mahe. It is only by his pleasure that he comes, although he does not need to come. When the living entities come to this world for material enjoyment, they are entangled in karma and karma phala by the Lord's illusory energy. But if one seeks shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, one is again situated in his original liberated state. As stated here, krita yatas tvai abhayatatmani. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is always fearless. Because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna, we can enjoy freedom in this material world. I repeat, because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna, we can enjoy freedom in this material world. This idea is the reason we have become entangled. Now it is our duty to seek shelter again at Lord's lotus feet. This shelter is described as abhay or fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age or disease, and since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we also are not subject to birth, death, old age and disease. But we have become subject to these illusory problems because of our forgetfulness of Krishna and our position as his eternal servants. Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nitya Das. Therefore, if we practice devotional service by always thinking of the Lord, always glorifying him and always chanting about him as described in the text 37, Shinvan Griyan Smaranasyam Cha Chintayan, we will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. The demigods therefore encourage Devaki not to fear Kamsa, but to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was already within her womb. This chapter, which is entitled The Prayers by the Demigods, we are in the last few verses of this chapter, wherein the demigods have appeared in the prison cell and they are offering prayers to Krishna in the womb of Mother Devaki, Devaki Nandan Ayacha. So Krishna is glorified as Devaki Nandan. So very soon he'll be appearing as Devaki Nandan. So demigods are all present, all the primary important demigods are right in the prison cell of Kamsa. Seems to be a great breach of security. you know, that you know, the cell which was supposed to be extremely well guarded, the demigods are so powerful, they don't really need to, they were right there present, you know. So it's a big, big breach of security in one sense from Kamsa's perspective. And they're offering beautiful prayers. And many a times, at least for me, whenever we come to a section of prayers, it is not something very... many times we want... We feel it's the same thing. Everybody is speaking. At least for me. But if you go deeper into this beautiful prayers, these demigods are really revealing some of the most important truths to us with regards to how to execute Krishna consciousness. And one of the important aspects of Krishna consciousness is Sambandha Jnana. First, we have to re-establish our relationship with Krishna, because we had established relation once upon a time. We broke it. So now we have to re-establish our relationship with Krishna. And that is called Sambandha Jnana. Now, if you want to establish a relationship with somebody, you should know who that person is really. Otherwise, how will you really have a relationship with somebody whom you do not know? You should really know who is he, what is his personality, why he does what he does. And then we will be slowly able to establish our relationship. So it is very, very appropriate in the next, in the fourth verse from now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is going to appear. We have just four verses away from that glorious moment in this discussion of Bhagavatam, where the Lord, I mean, in the whole Bhagavatam was spoken just to narrate Krishna's pastimes, and that personality, the Lord of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sada Aishwarya Purna Bhagavan, is going to appear in the next fourth verse from now. So the demigods are preparing all of us. Suta Goswami is preparing all of us. Sukadeva Goswami is preparing Parikshit Maharaj before this eventful occasion of who exactly Krishna is. We must understand who this Lord is. Who is this person who is going to appear? Who is this person whom Kamsa is so fearful about, that he has made such elaborate, cruel arrangements by killing six babies, infant, few minutes old babies. And he's so fearful. The previous verses, last to last Friday, we were seeing that how Kamsa was so fearful that he was seeing Krishna everywhere. He was Krishna Mai in one sense. He was seeing Krishna in wherever he looked. He was feeling Krishna everywhere out of fear. Not anukul, but pratikul. So who is this Krishna really? What is this Krishna Tattva? Sehi Krishna Tattva Vete Sehi Guru Oy. That we should understand the Tattva of Krishna. So here it is explained that Krishna has a very, very transcendental position. O Supreme Lord, you are not ordinary living entity appearing in this material world as a result of fruitive activities, but you appear by your pleasure potency. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that first he says that yes, the Lord appears yada yada hi dharmasya glanil bhavati bharata, to establish religious principles, to kill the demons. But Prabhupada himself in the next line he says, but for this the Lord doesn't have to really come, because he has multifarious energies. But the Lord comes only for his pleasure. It's only for his pleasure. And one more very important point in this verse is, there's a very wonderful promise given for all of us. That if we really connect to Krishna, if we really become Krishna Mai, or become very close to Krishna, become his devotee, then whatever quality Krishna has of being transcendental, not being affected by birth, old age, disease and death, that same thing is available for us. It is explained. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for misery like birth, death, old age and disease, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy.
So when, as long as we are in the external energy, we are definitely affected by birth, old age, disease and death. But that is the impetus we all have to worship. This personality is going to appear very soon, because having worshipped him once, we are not bound by this birth, old age, disease and death. And Krishna, as we have heard time and again in these various verses of Bhagavatam, that Krishna has created this material energy as a place of reformation, as a place where the living entities can reform themselves, understand their position, understand that they cannot live separate from Krishna, they cannot enjoy separate from Krishna, and to reconnect to Krishna. So Krishna has created this material energy for reformation, and he performs amazing, wonderful pastimes to attract our dull hearts. And one of the words used by Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Devotion is that Krishna does amazing pastimes to astonish us. We get astonished by what Krishna does. It's an amazing word, astonished. I was referring the dictionary. What is this word astonished? It's a wonderful word. The Krishna, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna astonishes us. Astonished means, the word, the dictionary says, it shocks us. One of the translations is shock. Or one of the thing is colossal. Astonishment means it is something so colossal, so amazing that you get astonished. Oh my God, what's this? And as I was thinking in my mind, that when do we really get astonished? Many times we get astonished. But one of the time that we do get astonished is when we see magic. When there is some magic show. So there was this story I was reading in one of the books about the history of Siddha Mayapur. And there was this was many years back. And there was this very, very powerful magician who came to Mayapur. And you know, usually Mayapur at that time was filled with a lot of yogis, sadhus, devotees, tapasvis, very, very advanced devotees of the Lord in different, either they were bhaktas or whatever path they were following, but they were very, very renounced people. So this magician came and he was doing a show. And he told all the people, most of the crowd was sadhus, very advanced sadhus. And he told that, please, whatever I am doing, don't take it very seriously. It is only magic. Don't call the police or don't become scared of anything. Because ultimately, I am guaranteeing you, it is only magic. But that was like an embargo. That was like an announcement he made before he really started. There's all sadhus, very, very great souls sitting there. And then he said that, as usual, the magician, he said, I want a volunteer. So somebody who is really, you know, wants to really take up this some adventure. He said, okay, I volunteer. So he went to the stage. And many of us must have seen this, that this magician put him in a box. And then with a powerful knife, he started the knife and he took it through the box, and as he was going through the box, blood just came out of from the box. The person was right inside and he was going through the box. It was just blood, and everybody, all the sadhus were, it was explained there. Then what's happening? They were shocked. They were so scared. And while he was doing this, he said, please don't worry, this is only magic. But they were seeing this blood flooding out from this box. And then they said, stop it, it is cruel. Stop it, we don't want to see this. It's too cruel. And then he stopped. And he said, but you are all sadhus. Why are you so disturbed? You should not be so disturbed, because you know, I told you it is all magic. And then he did some same salami, poo poo poo, or something like that. and then the person came out, and then he was all right, and then he was bending all his, everything was fine. And sadhu was very relieved. So this story was told to us by Pankajangri Prabhu, and he was saying that the sadhus, even though they were very elevated people, but they were astonished, shocked by magic. Similarly, you know, there was experience a few years back. We had this children's festival down in our ground down, in the quadrangle down, and there was a magician who had come, a very ordinary magician, but he was doing magic, and it was all children sitting, and of course children had their parents, you know, some of the parents had the grandparents were sitting because they had got their children, and this person was doing magic, and I was in the front and I was observing. The children were definitely absorbed, but the elders were like glued to him. And what talk of that? What was the Prabhupada disciple? What is his name? Pyare Mohan Prabhu. Pyare Mohan Prabhu came. He's a professional magician. And you know, as part of our counselor's retreat in Vada, a proper 1.5 hours was given for him to do magic. And they were 3 Prabhupada disciples, 2 sannyasis, and one of sannyasi told me that, Sridhama, please book my front seat. I want to sit in the front seat. I want to see the magic. And all, many of the great renowned brahmacharis that all of you are, we're also there. And you know, everybody was just glued and was mesmerized, much more than Krishna Katha or anything, just mesmerized to his, and you know, he was doing funny things like, you know, somebody passing water or something. You remember he did some, that I took water and something very funny. But everybody was glued to it. And to such an extent that Pyare Mohan Prabhu was in Bhaktivedanta Hospital and he was told to give class. And one of the senior leaders of this congregation, he said that, you are not meant for class, you are meant for magic. So he gave a 5-minute class and a 50-minute magic show. Just everybody was amazed. The point we want to drive is, just recently I was at somebody's house, and you know, when you go to somebody's house, I mean, there's something which is always in common, that is the TV is already on. Whether somebody is there or not, there's this huge TV ad, huge, this big. And obviously, you know, we are not a devotee, so we can't tell him to really turn it off. So you know, you're sitting, and then obviously your eyes get attracted to what's going on in the in the television. So there was this, lucky for me, it was something wonderful that I learned. There was this magic show going on of a person called David Copperfield. I'm sure you all have heard his name. David Copperfield, very, very famous magician. He has sold more tickets for his magic show than even the best of rock stars and everything. That is, I just referred to the Guinness Book of World Record yesterday. And he is on a Guinness Book of World Record because he has sold maximum tickets, more than all the fashion shows, all the, you know, rock shows and everything. People like magic more than all these things. So I was just saying, oh, this is interesting. He was just starting his show. And he was talking to people. And as he was talking, he was right in the middle and there was a huge crowd all around him. You know, you have seen boxing stadiums, where there's boxing in the middle and everybody's around. Similar stadium was there. And he was doing some, he started talking very casually, oh, sir, how are you, everybody? And he started to fly. And there was no strings, there was no ropes, nothing. He was just flying and everybody was, whoo! And people were shocked. And you know, and then he started throwing things from the top on people's heads. On the top, and it was all magic. So when I saw this, that this is amazing, that how people who are ordinary people, I mean, with some, they may have some mystic powers, but they are ordinary people. They do such magic, people get mesmerized. So there's magic always going on in this material world. If we do not get attracted to Krishna's magic, then we'll be attracted to Maya's magic. That's the point. Krishna is a supreme magician. Krishna's magic is what we need to get attracted to. And then when you get attracted to Krishna's magic, we'll be astonished. And then when we get astonished, we'll feel attracted to Him. But we should give time for getting attracted to Krishna's magic. Krishna's Maya, amazing Shakti. Amazing pastimes that He does. Otherwise, we'll be constantly in the cycle of birth and death. That is the only solution to get attracted to Krishna's pastimes. Everybody knows that we are going to die. Just yesterday, the world was shocked by the passing away of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, 56 years old man. His invention practically revolutionized technology in amazing way. He's one of the greatest inventors. He just invented such gadgets which are profusely used by everybody, very much in our society also. He completely revolutionized the whole way technology is used. But what is Steve Jobs talking about, the greatest invention? What does he feel is the greatest invention? So this was this lecture which he was giving at the Stanford University in 2006 or 2005. This is the beginning of his very famous lecture, Stanford University, big university. This is how this man, which we can see that yes, this man has received some portion of Prabhupada's mercy through his prasad. As Gaur Gopal Prabhu was telling me, he was seeing this video and where he was saying when he was a pauper on the street, he didn't have money to even really rent a dormitory. He was staying on the street and he would sell empty Coke cans for 5 cents. And he would make his money and he would really have his living. But sometimes he really couldn't do that. Then as he was explaining that he would walk 7 kilometers to the Hare Krishna temple. And I said, I would eat prasad there. And of course, I have not seen, but Gaur Gopal Prabhu was telling me today morning that the way he said it, that I loved this prasad. He just said it with so much. I loved this prasad. So here was powerful Agya Sukriti going on in this person's heart. He came to India as a seeker to meet some great saint in India. So here is a person who is at the peak of his success in 2006-2007. It was known that Apple is the company for technology gadgets. And what is he saying to the people? He said, no one wants to die. This is how he begins. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven do not want to die to go there. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven do not want to die to go there. And yet, death is the destination we all share. Try to understand. This is one of the billionaires speaking to the top university people. And this is what he's sharing with them. This is his realization. I continue. And yet, death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be. Death is very likely the single best invention of life. This is Steve Jobs saying. Death is the best, single most invention of life. Because it's such a powerful invention that everything ends with that. So here, if we want to, this is just as a small tribute to a person who has really served the society. We don't know much about his personal life. Must be a person, wonderful man, for sure. Appreciation for Krishna is there in his heart. For sure, it is going to be really helping him in wherever he is. On a lighter note, the people were so happy with what he made. One of the very senior devotees in our society was saying, in a joking way, I said, Shidama, do you know what is the common feature between computers and air condition? So I really couldn't find any. I said, when you open them with Windows, they don't work. So that's how they were so happy with this Mac. This must be a wonderful man. But what is most wonderful is what he's speaking, not what he made. That is wonderful, but that is bewildering many people. But what he's speaking is very wonderful. The death is certain. So if we want to really get out of this punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam cycle of birth and death, then we have to be attracted to Krishna. And if we want to get attracted to Krishna, then we cannot be attracted to Maya. Recently, I was hearing one class by His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, wherein he was explaining that this is in the story in the Brahma Vaivarta Puran. He was explaining of Narad Muni. He told Krishna that, Krishna, I want to really understand your Maya Shakti. This is a dangerous request. We all know what happened to Markandeya Rishi, right? In the 12th canto, Markandeya Rishi had the same desire. The Krishna, I want to see your Maya Shakti. So we'll speak about Markandeya a little later. Let's continue this. So Narad, Krishna said, are you sure you want to see the Maya Shakti? I mean, devotees don't need to really see it. I want to see it. I want to really experience it. So Krishna said, fine, but we cannot do it in this form of Krishna and Narad Muni. So they changed the form to a Brahman, to two Brahmanas, as is explained in this Brahma Vaivarta Puran. And they started walking, and they reached the house of a Vaishya. And both the Brahmins went to this house of a Vaishya, and the Vaishya served them very nicely, as a Grihastha Dharma is there. He was serving them very nicely, and the Brahmana, Krishna, the form of Brahmana, gave benediction and blessings. Thank you very much for serving us so nicely. And then the next day they went to the house of a Brahmana, and there the Brahmana also served this both Brahmanas very wonderfully, with a lot of love, devotion. And Krishna was leaving that house after being served by this Brahmana, and Krishna cursed the Brahmana. I mean, Krishna in the form of a Brahmana cursed the Brahmana. That I curse you that you lose everything. You lose all your Brahman knowledge. And then they left. And the Brahmana, who is in the form of Narad Muni, he said that, oh my Lord, what did you do? This Brahmana was serving us with so much love and devotion. He was really so nice. I am not really comfortable with what you did. Krishna explained, no, he is not actually a Brahmana. He is not following the dharma of a Brahmana, because he goes to the fields and he cultivates crops. He does the duty of a Vaishya. When a Brahmana does the duty of a Vaishya, he is worth curses only. He should be cursed. He said, when a Brahmana, is explained in the story, when a Brahmana does the duty of a Vaishya, it is as good as a person catching fishes and eating them every day. That's how sinful it is. So, I mean, if you don't do your duties properly, it's sinful. That's why Krishna said, I cursed him. And Narad Muni said, oh, if that is the reason, then I completely believe you. I completely trust you. Krishna said, well, this is not what I expected, Narad Muni, you to say, because I was trying to show you my Maya Shakti, but you have so much faith in me that the moment I say something, you simply accept it. So this is no fun. This is not how Krishna was trying to show his Maya Shakti. That he was trying to show something which was illusory to him. But Narad Muni accepted it. So this is the story. Krishna is saying that if you want to really see Maya, you cannot have trust in Krishna. And vice versa. If you really want to trust Krishna, you cannot trust Maya. So Narad Muni's desire was not fulfilled. Krishna said, I have to do something much more different. So as they were walking, they came to a big, big lake. And Krishna told that, now you go inside this lake and take your bath. So Narad Muni went in the lake and took his bath, and he came out. He was a lady. And Krishna was not there. And, you know, of course, the lady was just all, I mean, Narad Muni just forgot who he was in the form of a lady, completely unaware of who she was, where she was, what she was. So as providence, there was this powerful king passing, Taladvaj, was passing by from that place. You know, it's always somebody passes by when something like this is happening. It's quite amazing. When something like this is happening, somebody passes by. This is a story. Always in stories, this is wonderful. All Bhagavatam stories. Which story is that? Yayati, Devyani and Sharma. Amazing story. Somebody always passes. And somebody feels thirsty and goes to the well. All these things are always there. So this king was passing, he was thirsty. And then he went to this lake to drink water. And this lady was completely oblivious where she was. So she was very beautiful, as is always there in the story. And this king said, "Who are you?" So the lady said, "I don't know who I am. Where are you from?" "I don't know." Nothing. Completely oblivious of who she was. So king, as it was ordained, he was a bachelor, he was not married yet. He said, "Please come to my kingdom." And she was very beautiful. He had a natural affection for her to give shelter to her. And as a king, or as a powerful Kshatriya, it is natural for Kshatriyas to have a feeling of giving shelter to people who are weak. That's why the kings would marry many, 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 many thousands of queens. Not for their lust, because many of them were great, great devotees. But they want to give more shelter to more and more people. So Talajwat got this lady, and in due course got married, as the story goes. And then they had 50 children. Very powerful lady. 50 children. And the children all were happily growing. And she was growing. She didn't know who she was. She forgot that she was Narad Muni, by the way. Completely not aware. So as she was growing, and then children were growing. And then she told her husband, Taladvajit, "Have you arranged for enough property and wealth to be distributed amongst 50 children? Because we have so many children and they all should be very happy when they grow and when they get married." So he said, "No problem, we have a huge kingdom. We will divide the kingdom into 50 parts and give to each of our sons, and they'll be happy." But in a kingdom, there's some part, you know, which is a palace, which is very important, some part which is a forest, not so important parts. So when he divided, some sons got some ordinary things, not very, and some sons got very wealthy things. I mean, they couldn't really divide equally because there was nothing equal. The whole kingdom was having different aspects to it. So then they got very angry, and their wives got more angry. And as the story goes, these 50 children got so angry, they started fighting with each other, and they killed each other. All 50 of them killed each other. No children. And this lady was in agony, Narad Muni. There was no name mentioned. She was in agony. She said, "Oh my God, what has happened? Providence, what have you done to me?" And she was going helter and skelter. She ran to the place where there was battlefield, where this massacre happened. And she was shouting, "Oh, Supreme Lord, whoever you are." Even the lady didn't know that Krishna is Supreme. Narad Muni forgot. Complete Maya Shakti. "Whoever you are, what have you done to my life? What have you done to my family?" Complete distress. And then Krishna came in the form of Brahmana. I said, "Oh, you are a very, very great Brahmana. Please do the last rites of this 50 of them. You must do it." And as the last rites, Krishna said, in the form of Brahmana, that you have to be part of this rites. He told the husband and wife. "And the only way is that you have to take your baths. Because for the last rites, for the yajna, you have to be pure." So he said, "The lady, you go and take bath first." And she went and she came out, and she was Narad Muni. And Narad Muni said, "Oh God, what had happened?" He could remember what he had gone through. And he said, "What happened, oh my Lord?" And the Lord said, "You wanted to know my Maya Shakti, is it not? This was my Maya Shakti. That how bewildered, how attached you were. How close you fell to something which was illusory. There was no reality to this. The whole thing was illusory, Maya Shakti. But how attached you fell to this." And another thing he's told, that till the time you are attached to me, you cannot be attached to Maya Shakti. You cannot know Maya Shakti. But because I had to change your form and make you bewildered and make you forget so that you could see my Maya Shakti. So when we hear all these stories, it is explained that we tell stories to young children so that they sleep. I mean to children. And we tell stories to grown-ups so they become awake. These stories for children, they go to sleep because it's nice stories. But for all of us, we should be awake to these stories. We should be rising. What does this story really teach us? The magic of Krishna. The Maya Shakti of Krishna. If you want to be attracted to Krishna, then you cannot be attracted to this Maya Shakti of Krishna. And one of the very important things that are mentioned by Prabhupada and in this verse of when we get attracted to Krishna, the one thing which is very, very common in this world is fear. Everybody is fearful. Even when you do eating, sleeping, mating and defending, this four activities, the underlying principle of all these four activities is actually fear. Why do people eat? Because they are fearful that if they don't eat, if they starve themselves, they'll be in great agony. It is a fear of starvation that makes people eat. Because if you don't eat, you feel fearful. What if I starve? So that's what drives people to eat. Sleeping. You make elaborate arrangements for sleeping, but the underlying principle of sleeping is if I don't sleep, if I don't have a comfortable place, if I don't have a shelter, what will happen of me? Everybody looks for shelter. Even a dog, when he wants to sleep, he goes below a car to sleep nicely. Right? Many times you want to start a car, one dog comes out. Why? Because he wants shelter from the rain, from the sun. Everybody wants shelter because he's fearful not to have shelter. And that's why you need shelter, you need to sleep and have a comfortable place to sleep. And similarly, you know, mating, the result of mating is family life. And family life is nothing but filled with fear. What will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? What if they leave me? What if they do this? What if they do that? What if they fall sick? It is all nothing but fear. That's why this very, very favorite song of Prabhupada. Bhajahure mana Srinanda nandana Abhaya charanara vindare. That if you want to really become fearless, Prabhupada retained this as part of his name right from his childhood. Prabhupada didn't give up this AC, Abhay Charan. And this guru also maintained Abhay Charan Aravind. And then Prabhupada continued this name, AC Bhaktivedanta Swami. To show the world the importance of being fearless. And it's explained, Abhay. How do you become Abhay? When you take shelter of Krishna. When you hear Krishna's glories. And as Prabhupada quotes this verse, again, this verse has come in the verse 37. Where it says that even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at the lotus feet, who constantly hear, chant, contemplate and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms, are always on transcendental platform. So when you are engaged in these activities of hearing, chanting and contemplating and making others chant Krishna's names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When you are engaging people in chanting Hare Krishna and you yourself are hearing chanting Hare Krishna, then you can become Abhay, because that is the benediction as part of hearing Krishna's wonderful pastimes. And Krishna comes to this material world only for pleasure. And if you give me 5 minutes, I felt it was wonderful to discuss one of the very wonderful pastimes of Krishna to show a point that how Krishna comes only for pleasure. Because wherever Krishna is, whether it's in the spiritual world or in the material world, the only purpose Krishna does, because he's meant for what? He's Rasaraj, enjoying Rasa Bihari, to enjoy various rasas. That's what Krishna is meant for. That's why Krishna is Krishna. So this verse explains the only purpose Krishna comes is for his pleasure. And by hearing his pleasure pastimes, we become attracted. We become astonished. So this is a beautiful story. May not be just so much part of our realization right now. You know, we might be not on that level. But it is important to hear the stories to really know what is in store for us. If we do get purified and if we want to really achieve the spiritual world. So there was this beautiful story where Krishna he lost his flute. It's explained that Radha and Krishna were at Sri Radha Kund. And they were playing this game of dice. Tosser. You know, dice. When the Lord does it, it is only for pleasure. It's not for gambling. And you know, and then Krishna said, What do you put on bet now? So Krishna said, I put my Kaustubha gem on bet. And the first this thing, Radharani won. And Krishna lost his Kaustubha jewel. And the Krishna said, this is a very costly necklace, pearl necklace that I have. I put it on bet. And Radharani again won. And that I put it on bet. And Krishna said, now, you know, as because this is a tendency of gambling, I mean, that you get excited when you lose. And you want to bet more and more and more and more. Because you want to win. So Krishna said, okay, now I bet my flute. What had happened is, when Krishna was with his Gopa friends, he was playing around just a few hours back. Krishna, his flute had fallen down. He didn't realize it. And Lalita Devi had found this flute. And when Lalita Devi saw this flute, he said, this flute is, because flute is a competitor of the gopis. Because gopis always find the flute to be a competitor. So she took this flute and he said, you are so dry. You are full of faults in the form of these holes. So, you know, you're worthless. So she took that flute and put it in her braid, in her hair. And then Krishna, while the dice game was going on, he said, I bet my flute. Try to understand, this is all pleasure pastimes of Krishna. That's why we are hearing this story today. That's how it is connected. And then Radharani won again. And Krishna he had to give the flute to Radharani. But he couldn't find his flute. And if you bet something and you don't have it, it is a big shame on you. So again, Krishna went to Madhumangal. He said, Madhumangal, you are a Brahmana. You have some astrological powers. You know astrology. You please go into deep meditation and find out where is my flute. So Madhumangal went into Samadhi. And he said, with my calculation, with my all charts and everything, I know for sure that your flute is with Lalita Devi. So as Krishna was about to approach Lalita Devi, Radharani took the flute from Lalita Devi and put it in her hair. Just hid it in her hair. As this was happening, all the gopas and gopis came running. I said, Jatila and Kutila are coming. They are going to Surya Kund. Because Radharani has told that she is going to Surya Kund. Please run and go to Surya Kund. Otherwise, she'll be caught. So Krishna and Madhumangal, as is explained in this beautiful story, very heart enchanting story, they dressed themselves as Brahmanas. And they started walking, and Radharani with her friends, she reached Surya Kund. And Jatila Kutila were walking. And as they were walking, they saw these two Brahmanas. And they said that, oh, will you please help my daughter-in-law to perform her Surya Puja? So Krishna and Madhumangal said, well, we are strict brahmacharis. We have nothing to do with ladies. Absolutely nothing. Don't even call the name of ladies. No way. And by the way, we are only worshipping Surya Narayan. We don't worship anything else. I said, that's what we want. Please. And Jatila and Kutila fell at the feet of Krishna. So please, there is no Brahmana. Please, you come. And then, as we know, Krishna agreed to come. And as soon as Radharani saw these two Brahmanas, he said, oh, this is Krishna and Madhumangal. But Jatila Kutila didn't know that. So Krishna, it is explained in this beautiful story, narrated by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. he started chanting various verses glorifying Surya Narayan. It's explained in Brahma Samhita. Yes, Chakshur Esa Savita Sakala Grahanam. The Surya is constantly moving, is it not? But when Krishna was chanting prayers to Surya Narayan, the sun god was so shocked to hear his own glories, something which he also couldn't understand what Krishna is speaking about himself, that he stopped moving. He was stunned. That's how elevated and amazing prayers Krishna was offering. When Jatila Kutila heard this, they were very, very happy. And then all the puja was over. And Madhu Mangal said that, well, puja is over, but you know, there are two things you need to do. First is, all of you should offer respects to both of us, because we are brahmanas. You should offer respects to all, both of us. And second thing, you have to give dakshina. So then Jatila offered respects to Krishna, and Madhu Mangal Kutila offered. And then Srimati Radharani was asked to offer. And as she was offering her obeisances, the flute fell down. And here is a tragedy. Now this is, because everybody knows Krishna's flute. And Jatila Kutila saw the Krishna's flute falling from Radharani's hair. I said, what is this? Caught red-handed. Rangiyat pakade gai. So you are caught red-handed. What is this? What is this flute doing here? And you know, this is transcendental discussion. Radharani said, well, I was coming to this place, and as I was walking from Govardhan, this flute came falling down from Govardhan. And I saw this flute, and I could recognize this flute causes so much disturbance to all the gopis. So I took this flute and I wanted to throw it in the Jamuna. So Kutila said, oh, very nice. She was very happy to see that Radharani had nothing to do with Krishna's flute. And she was showing complete disgust. So Jatila Kutila was very happy. And then the mother-in-law took the flute. So Krishna's flute is in his mother-in-law's hand, Radharani's mother-in-law, Kutila's hands. And Krishna had to get that flute. It was very important. It was his bet. He had to give it as a bet. So he said, actually, I'm going to Mathura. I'm going in that direction. If you want, give me the flute. I will throw it far, far away. Nobody will ever find it. Nobody, 100%. So Krishna took this flute, and at last it came in his hands. And then all the gopis, they offered amazing bhoga to Krishna and Madhu Mangal. And now starts the real pleasure. It's real fun. Then how Krishna comes just for enjoyment. So Madhu Mangal, he took his all portion of his sweets. And Madhu Mangal's personality is such to enhance Krishna's pleasure that he doesn't want to share anything with anybody. So he told all the gopas, he said, don't you ever look at what I have. Don't look here. It's nothing to do with you. It is all a gift to the brahmana. If you take this, which belongs to a brahmana, you will be in big sin. Balram told him. And Krishna was just laughing on the side. He was enjoying. He was taking pleasure. Balram told him, Madhu Mangal, are you sure you don't want to share it with us? You want to know? You know what are the consequences? Madhu Mangal said, no way. This is nothing to do with you. I am a brahmana. I did my brahman pujas and this belongs to me and you get nothing. And Balram said, you are sure? I said, yes. You are really sure? I said, yes, I'm really sure. And then Balram did 1, 2, 3. And all the gopas attacked Madhu Mangal. And one gopa, this is pleasure. This is Krishna's pleasure. One gopa closed his eyes and slapped him on his head. You know, this origin of the tapli game. You know, everything comes from Krishna. We used to play this tapli game, right? Then we close the eyes and pat, 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 and everybody runs away. It comes from the gopas of Vrindavan. They slapped him. And then one gopa just pulled his turban out. And other person just removed the knot of his huge shika out. And other person pulled his dhoti out from the back. And Madhu Mangal was trying to put his dhoti from back. And he was trying to hold his ladus. Then somebody pulled his dhoti from front. And then he was in a big mess. And as explained, the Madhu Mangal was crying, he was laughing, he was cursing, simultaneously everything. And he was in big agony, he was so angry. Huh? And in the whole bargain, you know, what can you do when you have one and there is whole group of, and Krishna was simply laughing and laughing and laughing. Just enjoying. That's what Krishna pleasure. That's why Krishna comes to this material world for pleasure. And in the spiritual world, he was just enjoying. But then he saw that Madhu Mangal is in great agony because people have really troubled him. His dhoti was almost out. His shika was all here, and his hair was in bad shape. It's really in a... And Krishna just came and he embraced Madhu Mangal. And as soon as Krishna embraced Madhu Mangal, he became completely silent. Completely relaxed. He became completely happy. And then he said that I curse all of you. And as soon as he said the word, I curse all of you, all the gopas started laughing. How can you curse us? What is your curse? It has no power. And Krishna started laughing. And then Krishna started tying a turban to him. And if Krishna personally put his dhoti, he personally tied his dhoti, tied a turban. And the way Krishna was tying his turban, Madhu Mangal didn't, he thought Krishna was helping him tie his turban, but Krishna tied his turban in a very funny way. Very funny way. And everybody was laughing at this. And that's how Krishna, Balram and the gopas, they simply enjoy pleasure pastimes. And when we hear this, and this is the place, the pastime which happens at Surya Kund. And this is a place where two of the most renowned acharyas of our sampradaya, Madhusudan Das Babaji Maharaj and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, they spend years and years of bhajan in that place. Relishing these beautiful pastimes, the pleasure pastimes of Lord Krishna, relishing them, getting astonished by them and getting attracted to Krishna. Very beautiful place. I think many of us have been to Surya Kund. Very silent, beautiful place. So this was one of the stories that I wanted to share about this beautiful, that why Krishna comes to this material world for pleasure pastimes, and if we get immersed in all these wonderful pastimes, which are exclusively for Krishna's pleasure, then slowly, slowly, we get pleasure in these pastimes and we give up the desire for enjoying separate from Krishna. We give up the desire for finding pleasure separate from Krishna and we find our pleasure in Krishna's pleasure. As explained in the verse 37, by constantly hearing, chanting, contemplating and causing others to remember transcendental names in form of Krishna, whatever activities the devotees are doing, they make progress in Krishna consciousness. This is the verse for all of us because we do so many activities. We do so many activities. And by doing these activities and by simultaneously hearing Krishna's pastimes, we get free of the bhay of this material world. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. It's very much time up, so we will not take any questions. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Rasbihari Krishna Bhagavan ki. Tai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol.